today as we come to the table.
Speaking, of course, of those that have already been saved, it's not going to be like there's nations that need to be saved after that. These will be everyone who's saved and the nations of peoples. Remember, the Bible says we will be kings and priests to the Lord. So we will be kings on the earth. And what our duties will be, I don't know, but we'll have kingdoms. It'll be his kingdom, but we'll serve as kings with him. We'll have things that we have to do here on the earth. I'm not sure what that is, but we'll be going back and forth, no doubt, for festivals and events in the New Jerusalem and celebrations and just going to see the Lord and going to worship. And it's going to be amazing. You know, it's really like a fairy tale. You think about it. You know, you ever wonder what it would be like to be a princess, you ladies?
As Pastor Mark continues his teaching series through the book of Revelation, he'll be reminding you that no matter what you're going through, there will be a day when God himself will wipe away every tear and there will no longer be any pain and suffering. We will dwell in paradise with God himself. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. How humbling is this heartrending picture of God himself reaching down in the most intimate and tender way to brush away the tears from our faces. The image represents the Lord's ultimate victory over our greatest enemies at the culmination of history. The final enemy, death itself, is destroyed. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 20 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Imagine now the pure glory of God coming out of something that size that's perfectly square with all these colors we're about to cover. Now, the colors will become more dramatic in a moment as we get to it, but the glory of this as it's coming out is going to be amazing. And this is even cooler because the Bible says that we will shine like the stars. And what that means is one of you guys are on the earth and one of you guys runs, oh, I got to go up the kingdom. I'll grab something, be right back. I'll be looking. You'll go in the kingdom and there'll be like this light moving in through these clear walls. And there you go. You're like a light moving around the city. And that light will come through the bottom, through all that glory and all that. The light will be shining everywhere. And all these delights moving around the city. You'll see all these lights everywhere. And lights coming out of the city. And lights going into the city as saints are coming in and out. And it'll be floating up there above the earth very possibly with God's glory coming down through it. Can you imagine what this is going to look like? This is amazing. Okay? And so this is just what little bit we can kind of start beginning to grasp of what it might look like. So he goes on and says, verse 17, that he measured its wall 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was a pure gold like clear glass. Again, notice the pure gold here is like a clear glass. So it's going to be the purest gold. Again, you can actually see through it, heavenly gold. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. Now, as we go through the stones, I want you to, you know, I'm going to show you the colors. We can't see the colors exactly how they're going to be. And even if we could, we couldn't get the brilliance of what these colors would be like. But try to imagine, first of all, the city with all these colored stones and each of the names of the apostles, the 12 tribes, etc. And now all of a sudden you have these colors. And so on one of the stones here, notice the very first one, it says the foundation of the wall of the city was adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first one was jasper. The second one is sapphire. The third is chalcedony, kind of a light blue color with a darker blue. The fourth is emerald, which is a beautiful green. I love emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth is sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth was beryl. Ninth, topaz. 10th, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. So these are just the earthly colors to give you a picture. The foundation of the New Jerusalem, where we're going to be going in and out of like little lights and shining lights as shining like angels, this is the foundation of it. And all of our little lights are going to be coming through all these colors. The glory of the Lord is going to be coming through all these colors. And it's going to be like a city with lights going in and out and moving around. And we'll see everybody because you can see through the city. And it's going to be just pure glory above the heavens. So next time you look up at the moon, Do it. Just, I did it the other night. Imagine, wow, what would that be like to walk out and see that? You know, if you're down on the earth running errands or whatever the case might be. And so it kind of gives you an idea of some of the colors. And again, this is just the best we can do here. This is nothing compared to what it's really going to be like. Now, around these foundations, notice verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now, again, it doesn't tell us how large these pearls are, but if they're the gates, they're gigantic pearls. And again, it depends on how high the walls are. We know that the thing is 1,500 or 14 to 1,500 by 14 to 1,500. Do they go all the way to the top? Do they go part way? How high is the wall? The wall doesn't say the wall goes all the way up that high. But again, these are massive, massive pearls. Can you imagine the size of the oysters in heaven? But it's really cool when you think about it because it's one pearl, and that means it would open in the middle. Imagine a big, beautiful pearl just opened up. And there stands an angel by it. And there's all these colors in the foundation stones and all the glory. You're starting to get the picture of what this is going to be like? This is amazing. Each individual gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Again, you could see everything. You know, it's interesting. There's nothing to hide in heaven. Everything is open. The Bible says that everything is open before the Lord. He sees all things. Now you know why. There's nothing we can hide. You know, we think we're getting away with our sin or doing something that God doesn't see. He sees everything. And in heaven, we won't be trying to hide because everybody will be living righteously. But you won't have to worry about somebody around a corner saying something they shouldn't be saying or doing something they shouldn't be doing. Everybody's going to see everybody out in the open, but we're all going to be in God's glory and God's purity. Exciting. He says, but I saw no temple in it, verse 22, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So the Lord himself, he is our temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. And the Lamb is its light. Jesus is our light. God's glory is illuminating it through Jesus Christ. Isn't that neat? The glory of Jesus illuminated through his bride, the Holy Jerusalem. Even today, that's how the Lord is. His light is seen through his bride. And you know, it brings up a point. The purer we are, the more God can show his beautiful colors through us. Isn't that interesting? Because we're his bride. And the Lamb is the light of his bride. So the clearer our lives are, the more transparent we are with each other and with the Lord in purity, the more we shine for Jesus and the more attractive Jesus is to the world and the more the world is drawn to Jesus. See, and there's something about you. What is it? It's Jesus. And that means the cleaner we are as a vessel, the more he can shine through us to the world around us and be that picture of the holy Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, the purity of the Lord. I love it. It said, the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and their honor into it. Now, again, it's speaking, of course, of those that have already been saved. It's not going to be like there's nations that need to be saved after that. These will be everyone who's saved and the nations of peoples. Remember, the Bible says we will be kings and priests to the Lord. So we will be kings on the earth. And what our duties will be, I don't know, but we'll have kingdoms. It'll be his kingdom, but we'll serve as kings with him. We'll have things that we have to do here on the earth. I'm not sure what that is, but we'll be going back and forth, no doubt, for festivals and events in the New Jerusalem and celebrations and just going to see the Lord and going to worship, and it's going to be amazing. You know, it's really like a fairy tale. You think about it. You know, you ever wonder what it would be like to be a princess, you ladies? No, you've never thought that. And there's no lady in this room that's ever thought that. Of course you have. You're going to be that and more in the kingdom. We'll all be kings and priests of the Lord. We're going to be royalty. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So again, never again will the new heaven and the new earth be defiled with sin. God's going to wipe the slate clean, and it'll be clean forever. And there won't be any more sin. We will be sinless beings at that time. Then in chapter 22, and he showed me a pure river of water, water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Can you imagine? Here's this clear kingdom with all these colors and all these lights and all the emanations and God's glory. And here comes this pure river down the middle of it. Can you imagine what that water is going to look like? How sparkly, how pure. I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. It's going to be running from the throne right down the middle of the city. So you'll come into the city, you know, and you'll see the angels. Hey, Gabriel, good to see you. Amen, good to see you. You'll head on in through the pearly gate, all the lights around you, all the glory, the colors underneath your feet as you're walking on it, just the glory emanating. Here's that beautiful water, and you're going to see it and walking by it, and you're going to run into people that it's going to be amazing. And it just goes on forever and ever. And it's this beautiful stream going down the middle. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, interesting, the tree of life, like in the garden, there's going to be rows of the tree of life on both sides of the stream. And this is a little bit of a mystery. He says the 12 fruits each month. Will there be months in heaven? I don't know that it'll be like our months, but this is how John records it in whatever way he was receiving this. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. We know there won't be sickness. There won't be sin. So what will this do? I don't know. It's obviously going to be something that's just going to be an additional blessing to the peoples and the nations and whatever that would be. But there won't be an issue with sickness or sin, so it's a little bit hard to understand. Again, our mind is limited into what we can grasp. John doing the best he can to describe it. And he says, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Wow. In that kingdom, we'll be serving the Lord and seeing his glory. Look at this verse 4. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Again, we talked about our names, remember, are written on our foreheads right now. When you give your life to the Lord, he puts his name on your forehead. Shows that you belong to him. And it's a lot like a bride. When a bride gets married, what does she do? She takes her husband's name. So God has given us a whole picture of what it's going to be like in heaven. We're going to take our spiritual husband's name. We will become his, and his name will be on our forehead, and we'll belong to him. And there should be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So no end to the glory of the kingdom. You know, you can't ever get too much. It'll never run out. And what I love about this is, even though this sounds amazing, the Bible says God will be showing us new things throughout eternity. Can you imagine? You would think at some point you go, okay, wow, I mean, I've been here like quadrillion years, and I love this place. I'll never get tired of it, but I've seen it all. The Bible says you won't be able to do that. It says age upon age, he'll open up brand new things, just like a whole new page is turned and something brand new to show us. It's going to go on forever. That's our creative God. That's his glory. And so we're always going to be wowed by our God. And then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. You know, I'm glad he put that there because it almost seems like it's too good to be true. What he's saying is, this is your future, believer. This is you. This is truly your future. Trust in it. It's faithful and it's true. This is what you have waiting on you. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. And again, that's in God's timetable. For us, it seems like a long time. The Bible says to God, 1,000 years is just like a day. So for us, it's like, well, Lord, it's been 2,000 years. Yeah, a couple days. A couple days, and it won't be long. Hang on, coming back. He says, behold, I'm coming quickly. That means once I do come, it's going to be fast. That's what the word means there. It's where we get the word tachometer, like in a car. You guys know that especially. It just means basically once I hit the throttle, it's going to really change. It's going to happen quick. So he's not speaking about the timing of when he'll come back, but when he does, it's going to be fast is what he's saying. So behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. I appreciate John's honesty. I think it would have been easy to leave that verse out, because John knows he's not supposed to fall down before an angel. But again, just imagine trying to picture the glory that we talked about a minute ago of this floating city, the size of the moon, all bright with all the colors and all the lights going in and out as we see each other going in and out and all the traffic and all that's going to be happening, the glory emanating from God coming out of it, an angel standing there telling John this. He knew he's not supposed to bow to an angel. This is John the Apostle. His name's going to be written on the foundation, one of the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem. And yet, because the glory was so overwhelming to a mere man, he fell down to worship. And I guess that gives us a better understanding of how some of the other angels fell down to worship Satan. And you think, how in the world could these angels worship anyone but God? It just shows you the beauty that God has made in these angels and in his creation. And it was overwhelming to John. And even though John knew it was wrong, I guess he just lost himself in the moment because of the glory and he fell down before him. But I love it. The angels don't allow it. Notice, and the angel said to me, see that you don't do that. For I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. So get up. Don't worship me. You're supposed to be worshiping God. Again, God's grace. God knew that John would be overwhelmed. What's amazing is the Bible says we'll have greater glory than the angels in heaven. So the one that John was bowing to, he's going to have greater glory then. And he already does right now. John now has greater glory than that angel he bowed down to. And John was so overwhelmed by the glory of that angel, he bowed down knowing that we're not to bow to anybody but God. So how great is the glory of heaven? How great is the glory of our new bodies going to be? When you shine like the stars forever, and you enter the holy city, and you pass by all those colors, and it emanates through that, and all that, just as you walk by, you see all the colors. You know, I always thought, man, I don't know what it would be like, but I think, man, if I saw one of you guys go in, I could kind of watch and watch all the colors change as you headed down the street, you know. You know, watching you from underneath, and what are they doing? Oh, that's great. And I'll zip up there in a minute and find out, you know. That's going to be the glory you guys are going to have. It's just, it's hard to fathom. It's hard to imagine. This is why Paul said, I can't even put it in words. You know, Paul went to heaven, and Paul came back and said, you know, there aren't even words that I can use to describe heaven. And I'm not going to say that some of these afterlife things, that there may not be some type of legitimacy to some of it. I don't know, but when these people go and come back, they say they go and they come back and write books. I'm like, how is it they can write a book? And Paul said, I'm not going to say anything. That's always stumped me. You know, how can they write a book when Paul said, there's not a word that I can even say, you know? But it's going to be glorious. So worship God, don't worship me. And look at this, verse 10. Here is God's command about the book of Revelation. See if you see any discrepancy today. And he said to me, do not seal the words of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. How many churches and people are afraid to study Revelation because they say you can't understand it? It's too mysterious. You know, you can't, whatever. Guys, if you take God's word literally for what it says, like we do here, there's none of God's word that you can't understand. Now, there may be small little portions of it you can't understand, but the only reason Revelation is confusing to anybody is when they try to allegorize it. If everybody tries to allegorize it or spiritualize it, then it can mean whatever the teacher says it means. You get me 10 different teachers that are teaching through Revelation by allegory or by spiritualizing it and not taking it literally, and you'll probably get, you know, several different meanings to the book of Revelation. And then you have to stand back and say, well, which one is right? How do I know whether he's right or he's right? He's a better teacher, but he makes better points, and he's more charismatic, but he seems to be smarter. Well, how do you know? You don't. That's the problem. You have to simply take God's word for what it says, and then everybody knows what it says. It's not sealed. The word revelation means to reveal. It means to open up. And he gives a command here. Don't hide this book. Don't pretend it's something you can't understand. Don't run from revelation. Don't be afraid of it. I've given it so I can show you the kingdom. I've given it so I can show you the future. Enjoy. And he even says, for those of you that believe it and read it, there's a special blessing. How many of you guys have been blessed as we've gone through the book of Revelation? I have. I think everybody has, if you're in tune with the Spirit, not because of me or anybody else sharing it, but because of the promise he makes in his word about it. And he kind of gives a pronouncement of where people are at the moment. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. That is when the Lord seals all this. Wherever you are is where you're going to be. It says, and behold, I'm coming quickly. Again, there's that word that we get the tachometer from. It means when it happens, it'll be rapid. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works. This is why I believe we will receive our rewards at the rapture. Because he says he's coming and he's bringing his reward with him. Now, he could do it the second coming. He could do it at another time. He's the Lord. But I think that probably what he's going to do is we'll be raptured up there. And I think that when we have the marriage supper of the Lamb for those 7 years, while the last final 7 years is going on down here, I think it'll be like, kind of like an awards banquet. And you'll be getting your rewards. Everybody else will be getting their rewards. And we'll all be kind of feasting and rejoicing together, you know. And God's going to be handing these things out. So we'll see. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Again, that whole admonition in the word, not to be hearers only, but doers of his word. Blessed are those who do the commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Again, the only way we get a right to eternity and the tree of life is by being obedient to the Lord through Jesus Christ. And that they may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and all whoever loves and practices a lie. Again, this is speaking of those who are cast into outer darkness, the lake of fire for eternity. You know, it's interesting. One of the things we talked about, one of the great sins in Scripture that God talks about is practicing a lie. It doesn't mean telling a lie, although that's not good. We've all sinned in that at some time or another, but those who live a life of just telling lies. And anymore, it seems as though lies are no big deal. You ask, take surveys in high schools among kids or whatever, and they'll tell you, lying's no big deal. And yet it's one of the things that God says condemns a soul eternally. If someone lives that way, living a life of lies will keep you out of the kingdom of God. You have to be truthful. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So we'll shine like he does. He'll shine brighter, but we'll shine with him. I love this invitation. Look what he says, kind of inviting everyone into the kingdom. He says, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears, that is spiritually, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Notice the invitation here. It's for whoever desires. Guys, if you desire to go to heaven, you are welcome. You're welcome. God wants you in heaven. We want you in heaven. But you've got to come through Jesus. There's no other way to do it. You've got to confess your sin. You've got to receive Jesus as Lord and give your life to him. If you do that, the Bible says you're welcome. Maybe somebody listening by radio or by internet who doesn't know the Lord. But the Spirit and the bride is inviting, come. If you don't know the Lord, what a great time to give your life to the Lord and to come to know the Lord, because it's for whoever desires. It's not just for a few elect or for a certain group. It's whoever so desires, let him drink of the water of life freely. God puts no restrictions on any man or any woman. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Here's the scary part. Another reason why I take it literally and I don't want to add to it or take away. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You know, that scares me so much, I can't take it any other way but literal. Because if I take it any other way but literal, and I'm wrong, I'm taking away from the book. Or I'm adding to the book. So for me, I've said it before, I'd rather stand before the Lord and find out that I'm wrong by believing his word literally than to stand before the Lord and find that I'm wrong because I believed it allegorically or spiritually. So I'll take my chances with believing God simply what he said. And by the way, whenever the Bible is taught allegorically or spiritually rather than literally, the authority is the person teaching it. If you take the Bible literally, who's the authority? The Bible. Here's what it says. That's what it means. That's the authority. But if I tell you why it really means something different, and I start explaining away its meanings, then now I have put myself in the position of the authority. And that's kind of a scary thing to do here when you read verses like 18 and 19. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord, come Jesus. I love it. Yeah, John says, all right, amen. You know, you're coming quickly. Come on, I'd love it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through Revelation, and there's much to gain from this final book of the Bible. Yes, this book details much death, destruction, and judgment. But once the air clears, what's the end result? Jesus is coming back to make all things new, to restore everything that's become corrupted and stained by sin. Isn't that what everyone wants when they think hard about it? If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. That way, you can stay up on these revelation messages no matter where you are in the world. Are you interested in getting in touch with us? If so, we have just the thing. Our number is 865-609-1385. If you're trying to remember that number, we have it for you again. It's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or even ask for prayer. We value connecting with our listeners and hearing how God is interceding in their lives through these messages, through prayer, and through God's Word and His people. Please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching in Revelation here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.